we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldviews.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Walker, what a great combination. How's that? You know, just keeps it spicy a little bit, you know, keep you confused just a little variety throughout the week, but every day bringing you those core issues that are at the heart of who we are as a nation and what American Family Association is all about. The principles that we're trying to restore, literally the walls we're trying to rebuild. If you want to go back to Nehemiah, arise and rebuild the walls, that we may no longer be a reproach. This is the time, folks, to arise and rebuild the walls right there in your home. With your family, with your kids, with yourself, you know, making sure you've got a good foundation, and then your neighborhood right there next to you where you've been planted, right there in your community, and then it stretches from there to your county, your state, and of course, our nation. So thanks for teaming up with us, being a part of the solution, as I like to do as much as possible. I'm going to do the good, the bad, and the ugly today. We're going to cover as many headlines as we can, and of course, take your phone calls. You can dial in at 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840 on any of the number of headlines that we're going to hit or any topic that you've got a question on. Bring it on. Bring the comments, insults, questions, whatever you got. We'd love to hear it. A couple of headlines you probably have not heard a whole lot about that I think are vitally important with regard to restoring the Constitution and bringing back a constitutional republic that we can have some faith in, elections that we can have faith in. Jurisdictions, you know, that the feds would only do what they're supposed to do and that the states do what they're supposed to do and we as families do what we're supposed to do. The church fulfills its role. We've all got, you know, areas of authority that God designed the system to work well. And our founding fathers knew that because they were steeped in God's word, they were studying God's word, and our laws and our systems reflect that. And the more we do that, the better off everyone in the culture will be. And that's why we call it biblical citizenship. That's why we're teaching that all over the country. We've got 1 million people that have been through it. We've got 24,000 Constitution coaches out there teaching these classes, and you can be one of them. So we encourage you to do that. It's free. Sign up today at biblicalcitizens.com and start hosting that class. Okay, let's jump into some headlines. This one, I think you may have heard nothing about. The Supreme Court's going to hear a case, or actually they've already heard the case. They're inching closer to a decision, according to the Epoch Times, with regard to elections. Now, I get asked all the time, and in fact, I'm sure we'll get at least one phone call on this today. What good is all this work as biblical citizens? What good is it to be engaged in the process if the election system is broken, if they're able to steal elections? And, you know, how does a republic work with that? Well, I think those are good questions. I think that's a legit conversation to have right now. There's no doubt that there's corruption in the election process. That is not new. Solomon was right. Nothing new under the sun. Yeah, this is you know, it's been this way since we've had elections because of the depravity of man. There's always someone that thinks the end justifies the means. There's always someone that is willing to manipulate the process, willing to cheat because they think that it's worth it, that somehow, some way, cheating in this election will be worth it in the long run and that it'll pay off. And there were people, there's no doubt there were people in 2020 that thought Donald Trump is Hitler. I mean, they were being told that. They were being told this Donald Trump guy is so evil and so bad and we have to prevent him getting elected, that they were willing to cheat. They were willing to manipulate the process. They were willing to vote multiple times. They were willing to stuff ballot boxes. They were willing to register people that, you know, shouldn't have been registered. They were willing to manipulate the mail-in ballot process. Of course that was the case. That's not new, folks. That's not, you know, people act like that because Donald Trump questioned the outcome and questioned some of the manipulation that took place in some of these states, that somehow that was new. I saw a clip just, what was it, last night, I guess, of Dr. Phil on Bill Maher. It wasn't his regular show. I think I've seen a few clips of this. He does like this kind of, private just conversation where it's kind of like his cigar lounge or room is his man cave, basically. And he's usually sitting there with one other person and just having a, you know, drinks and cigars and having a, you know, conversation. And apparently this clip he had Dr. Phil on. And And I'll be I will say I've been surprised at how many clips of Bill Maher lately I've agreed with. I have to like, you know, check my temperature, make sure, okay, am I okay? I mean, Bill Maher is saying something that I think is right. In fact, he had Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears on his regular show just a few days ago, and she was just laying it out, and it was so good, so good. And Bill Maher was agreeing with everything she was saying. And Bill Maher was actually saying, you know, basically what Ron DeSantis has said and what I've said with regards to, in fact, Ron DeSantis said this in a speech in the middle of my keynote, by the way. My keynote got interrupted at the Florida Home Educators Convention, and because it was the only time the governor could come speak. So I had to stop in the middle of my keynote so the governor could speak and then finish my keynote. And you may think I was upset about that. I wasn't. I was like, this is great. No, but you're going to have all these people coming to hear the governor that wouldn't have come to hear me. So I love it. Anyway, bottom line is he and I were saying the exact same thing, me and my keynote and he and his governor's address, about the fact that we're educating our kids to hate their own nation. No one's ever done that in history that I know of. No one. And on this Bill Maher clip, he was saying that. He was like, this is foolish. Why aren't we teaching our kids to hate America? Why are we so down on America? This is liberal Bill Maher. And actually, he's a classical liberal more than he is a leftist. And therefore, he's pretty much done with the left as well and their cancel culture and everything else. Anyway, all of that to say, Bill Maher had a conversation. I know everybody out there is thinking, man, this Rick Green's, you know, squirrel. I know. I just squirrel. I just go off on too many tangents all at once. That's just how my brain works. Anyway, back to Bill Maher, Dr. Phil. Bill Maher is ranting in this clip about how Donald Trump crossed the Rubicon because he questioned the outcome of the election. And he actually said he tried to overturn the election. That is not true. That is a false, fake news comment. Donald Trump did not try to overturn the election, nor did Josh Hawley or Ted Cruz or any of the congressmen that objected to the electors, nor did any of us that were advocating for legislators in these states where cheating occurred. When we advocated for those legislators to do their job under the Constitution, specifically as precedent allowed for and as the 12th Amendment allows for, we advocated for them to take back the electors and choose the electors themselves, because the election process itself had been so tainted and so manipulated by secretaries of state, by governors, by local election officials. And when that happens, when you have anyone other than the legislature deciding how the election will take place, it's unconstitutional. The Constitution is extremely clear about this. There is no doubt. It's right there. Time, place, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. Not the Secretary of State, not the governor, not the state Supreme Court, not the local election. No one is allowed to decide the time, place, and manner of holding elections other than the state legislature. And so in Michigan and Minnesota and Georgia and Pennsylvania and all these states where they manipulated the election process to favor Democrats, to favor Joe Biden, where they made up election law in the last 60 days of the election without the legislature involved, that is completely unconstitutional. That is cheating. I'm not even getting into the computers and Dominion and all that. You don't even have to go there. They cheated in broad daylight and claimed they were being perfectly legal. It was absolutely cheating the process. And so when Donald Trump questioned that, he absolutely should have questioned that. We all should have questioned that. Anybody that loves the Constitution and wants to have faith in elections should have questioned that and said, there's a process for this. There's a proper way to modify election law. We do it every legislative session. There's some modification to the election process, perfectly legal and constitutional. That's the way you do it. Time, place, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed by in each state by the legislature. And unless there's a constitutional amendment ratified by 38 states, changing that to allow for state Supreme Courts, secretaries of state, governors, or anybody else to do it, unless that happens, and it has not happened, then any state that does that, that changes the election law without the legislature, those electors should not be counted. Those elections should be thrown out and redone. That's how it should be done in every time that happens. Anyway, okay. So Donald Trump was right to question. He was right to sue. The congressman in Pennsylvania that sued should have had his case heard. The Supreme Court refused to hear it. So shame on the Supreme Court for not doing its job in the election challenge process after the 2020 election. Now, that's not the first time. And this is the other thing that bothered me about Bill Maher's clip is he acted like Donald Trump's the first one to ever question. That is so not true. There were elections in the 1800s where states sent in three sets of electors. Some states had 105% turnout. And not only did the presidential candidates question the elections, sometimes it was months and months and months before it was decided who was going to be the president under those election questions, under those elector questions. There is nothing wrong with doing that. In fact, there's something wrong with not doing that. There's something absolutely wrong with not doing that, because when you don't do that, you allow for cheating. So Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and the others that stood up on January 6th and said, we've got a problem here and we need to question this. We need to have a committee. We need to study this. We need to make sure we inaugurate the right guy. That wasn't overturning an election. It was verifying an election. That's why Mike Pence was wrong for not questioning and verifying the electors. Instead of just turning it over, which actually there's precedent for doing it the way he did it, which was to turn it over to the House and Senate. So when I say he was wrong, I think he made the wrong choice. He had three constitutional options for how to deal with that situation. He believed he only had one, which was just to turn it over to the House and Senate. I believe, and history shows, I'm right on this, that he could have summarily, individually, on his own, rejected or accepted electors. Thomas Jefferson did it. Richard Nixon did it. There's precedent for it. They did that when they were vice president, opening the ballots. He could have absolutely required some sort of a response from those states that were in question. That's actually what would have been his easier way out. He should have said, we're going to pause. We're going to ask those six states that are in question. Two sets of electors have been sent. There's been obvious evidence that they changed election law without the legislature involved. That's cheating. So we're going to ask those state legislatures to verify who they want their electors to go to. Why didn't he do that? He could have done that, but he didn't. And even today, he says that Donald Trump tried to get him to overturn the election. That is not true. Donald Trump tried to get him to verify the election. Okay, all of that lead up to our final minute or so here before we go to break. The headline that I wanted to refer to is Supreme Court inches closer to a decision in a major redistricting case. This is out of the Epoch Times. This is an election question case, okay? And it's all about, does the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court of North Carolina, get to decide what their electoral map is going to look like, or does the legislature get to decide that? And obviously, it should be the legislature, not the state Supreme Court. And so even the state Supreme Court now has said that a local judge, I think it was a local district judge or whatever, should not have been able to redraw the lines, that it was the legislature's job. So this is being fought at both the federal and the state level, and it may not end up being heard by the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, because the state Supreme Court ended up getting it right just in the last few days. This was just they overruled themselves on April 28th. To say that the legislature, not the judges, has sole authority over the redistricting process. That's right. That was the right decision. But the U.S. Supreme Court has said, you know what? We still want to weigh in on this. And I'm actually glad. I'm hoping that the U.S. Supreme Court will use this case to put a stamp on this and to clarify, verify, and reaffirm that the Constitution stands. And that the Constitution gives this power to the state legislature, not to the court, not to the state the governor or the state Supreme Court, certainly not the Secretary of State. And if they do, that means we were right in 2020. Now, it's too late at this point, but it means we were right. And in future elections, that the process should play out as the Constitution says the process should play out. So anyway, very interesting case to watch. Let's keep an eye on that one when we come back. Got some more headlines for you, and we'll also get into your phone calls, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We're going to talk about the debt ceiling and the negotiations on that and a few other things as well. We'll be back. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks so much for joining us today. Huge announcement. Huge announcements from the White House. This is so important for people to learn from these, you know, these very articulate, grounded, philosophical folks there at the Biden White House. Apparently, Press Secretary Karine Jean—I can't say her name, Jean Pierre, whatever her name is. She's a clown. She's an absolute clown. It's a joke every day when she stands up there. But she had a real important announcement today. She said this with a straight face. Not today, yesterday, I'm sorry. With a straight face, she says to America, if you buy a car, you are expected to pay the monthly payment. It's that simple. If you buy a car, you're expected to pay the monthly payment. It's that simple. Well, I'm glad to know that. I'm glad that now, apparently, the Biden administration agrees that when you sign the dotted line and make an obligation to pay for something, that you actually pay for it. Because at the exact same time she's saying that, apparently, the Biden administration has now canceled $42 billion in public service worker student loans under this their student loan forgiveness program. They're after about $400 billion. That's on the low end. Some estimate it's going to be more like a trillion that the Biden administration will forgive. So these folks that took out loans, just like they were buying a car, you know, you go buy a car, you buy a house, you buy whatever. You take out a loan, you make your monthly payment, and if you don't make your monthly payment, they come take whatever it is that you were buying, right? So in the same way, we take out student loans to get an education. You promise to pay back the money that you're borrowing from some other American. It's not the government is not, they don't make any money. They don't earn any money. They take your money to pay all of the bills that they create. So when you borrow on a student loan, you are not borrowing from the government. You are borrowing from other Americans. And then when you decide, I'm not going to pay back those loans, you are stealing from other Americans. And so the Biden administration has authorized the Democrat Party theft method of using the government to steal from some Americans and give to others, or borrow from some Americans and give to others, and then refuse to pay back, which is then, of course, stealing. And so this same clown that is the press secretary for the president of the United States is saying, when you borrow, you have to pay it back. Or when you make a commitment to buy something, you have to pay it back. She's, of course, making the argument in the context of the debt ceiling. And so she's basically trying to say, since we have spent so much of the public's money, since we have stolen so much from the American people and obligated ourselves to spend it on all of these things that we shouldn't have been spending money on in the first place, for instance, sending hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine instead of securing our own border, which is another topic we've got to get into today. The border is an absolute disaster. It's shameful what the president has done here. So she's basically saying, since we've made obligations at the federal level with other people's money, that we have to, you know, continue to make those obligations. Well, the debt ceiling thing is not about not paying the bills that you've already incurred as Congress. It's saying that you cannot incur more bills. You cannot continue to spend us into oblivion. And yet this ridiculous administration is now using, car loans as their example of why the debt ceiling should be raised. It's a joke, folks. It's an absolute joke. How about following that principle with regard to the millions of Americans that took out student loans and now want other Americans to pay for their student loans? And this administration thinks that's perfectly okay and is actually doing it without congressional approval. That's the other problem I have here. The reason I say this is a clown show and this press secretary is a clown because the president's a clown is because they have no, it's a circus. It's an absolute circus. They have no grounding in reality. They have no grounding in the Constitution. They have no grounding in the laws that they are supposed to follow. They're not only a clown show, they're a dictatorship clown show. In other words, they're a circus that is taking over your life and my life. And they're making policy without Congress even having a say. And they do that every time they forgive these student loans without Congress approving it, that every time they refuse to enforce the law at the border. I mean, think about what's happening at the border right now. This is mayhem, absolute mayhem. Women are being raped. Children are being sold into sex slavery. People are being killed. Ranches are being overrun. Fentanyl and other drugs are coming pouring across our border, the biggest killer now for young people in our nation. And the president of the United States is letting it happen. In fact, is encouraging it to happen. Every bit of chaos at the border is a direct result of the policies of this administration. That is a fact. That is an absolute fact. The previous administration was working to close the border and only let legal immigrants come across, which we all support. I am for legal immigration. We need legal immigration. It ought to be 1,000 times easier to come into this nation legally. As long as we know who you are, you've got a purpose for being here, we can track where you are, you're paying taxes, you're coming for a specific amount of time, you have people that you're connected to when you come here, you have a job, all that. That's the right way to do immigration. And it should be allowed, should be encouraged. The wrong way to do immigration is to just open up the border and encourage everyone to come from all nations and have millions of people pour into our country illegally. A million now at this point that are gotaways. That means we don't know who they are, where they are, where they've gone, which means you've got terrorists, you've got everything, every gang members, all that kind of stuff. And now we're hearing that the cartels are essentially saying that if Title 42 is lifted and these people coming across don't have to pay the cartels anymore, the thousands of dollars that they pay, and it's going to cost the cartels billions of dollars, that they're going to create terrorist attacks in America, on American soil, in order to get the Biden administration to then clamp down. So that they can then, the cartels can then regain operational control. It's a zoo. It is an absolute circus and a zoo, and it is purposeful. This administration is doing this to their own country on purpose. You think I'm exaggerating? Look at Arizona. Look at the Arizona border, where the state chose to start closing off the border. They put in all of those, storage containers, started building their own border wall with the storage containers, and this administration hates its nation so much that it forced the state of Arizona to remove the storage containers. So instead of having any kind of operational control, this administration wants the cartel to have control over the border. Now, they won't say that, but they're doing that. Actions speak louder than words, and they're destroying our nation as a result of it. Is it an impeachable offense is a question I'm sure we'll get on the phones today. Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. Mayorkas should already have been impeached. Articles of impeachment against Mayorkas already should have been. I mean, my governor in Texas, Greg Abbott, who's been a complete failure on the border as well, absolutely should have stepped up years ago and sealed the border in Texas. 100% should have stepped up when Biden was inaugurated and we knew that he was going to lift the Trump policies that were helping to seal the border and hasn't done so. He's tinkered around. He's done a few things here and there. Well, yesterday he did more. He put in some tactical units that are hopefully going to stop the gotaways at least, but it's just more catch and release. He's just going to take them and process them through the border agents who are already overwhelmed, and that's not the answer. Now, I will say Governor Abbott finally declared the invasion, absolutely exercised his Article 1, Section 10 power to do so, but he hasn't repelled the invasion. So all of this that he's bragging about on national television is not as much as what he's claiming it is. Okay, it's positive steps, but it is not what he's claiming it is. If he would actually pick up the illegal aliens and take them back across the river to the other side and place them on the border, that is repelling an invasion. And until he does that, this will not stop. This flood is going to continue. And can I just, I know I'm ranting a lot today because I'm watching my border crumble, and it's only 3 hours from my house, so I know what's going to happen here. I know the mayhem that's coming. But at the very least, we ought to have the courage to say who's at fault here, both Republican and Democrat, right? There's no question it's the Biden administration that is ushering this in because they're Marxist and they want to destroy the country. But Greg Abbott is not a Marxist. He's actually, I think, a conservative, mostly constitutionalist guy. The problem is he's a politician, and he'll only go as far as he thinks he can get away with. And he's more afraid of some judge telling him he's unconstitutional than he is afraid of the cartels and the chaos that's happening at the border. And he needs to flip that. He needs to be more afraid of not serving his people correctly and say, we're going to do this the right way. We're going to seal the border. We're going to repel the invasion. And Texas will set the example. If he'd do that, he would be a hero to the entire American public. And he's inching his way there, but he's getting there way too slow. If you've seen the pictures, you know there's a flood of hundreds of thousands. Maybe it may be a approach a million by Wednesday, by the time this thing actually comes to a head. And so a million people are going to pour over that border. Look at El Paso. Look at the videos in El Paso. It's an absolute nightmare what's happening right now. And your government is encouraging it, indeed ushering it in. And the states are going to have to stop it. We can't wait 2 years. We can't wait 2 years for a new president to save the day. When these million people cross the border this week, there's no undoing that, because this administration will simply process them and release them into the American public. There's no undoing that at that point. It's done. And the damage that comes from it is going to be catastrophic. And it's going to take... At that point, you know, it's going to take years and years and years to undo what's happening here, if it can be undone at all. And who knows? We may find out that this mass murder event in Allen, Texas, in my home state, that happened just a couple of days ago, could be related to all this. I mean, they're saying this guy, you know, is potential. I don't know. I shouldn't comment until the facts come out, but it is very possible that we are dealing with a situation where the cartels are going to unleash chaos into our country. And this president has allowed it to happen. The phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'll say one more thing on a headline, and then we'll go to the phones. The president is now claiming on the debt ceiling that he may use the 14th Amendment, which is ridiculous. It's not what the 14th Amendment was designed to do. He's talking about the clause at the end of the 14th Amendment that has to do with verifying federal debts, and that federal debts shall not be questioned. And it really had to do with just basically saying we're not going to pay Confederate debts, but we are going to pay for U.S. debts. And it's never been used for what Biden is trying to do. Even Obama rejected this idea. Clinton floated it back in 2011, basically saying that a president on their own with the Treasury Secretary could invoke the 14th Amendment and raise the debt ceiling themselves. That would be even the Secretary of the Treasury has said that would be a constitutional crisis if they do that. And so but there's no plan. These people are, I'm telling you, they make it up as they go, and they don't care about the Constitution. This is why 2020 was so important, folks. This is why verifying the election was so important. Verifying the fact that this guy that hid in his basement for the entire presidential election, pretty much, did not win the election. This is why it was so important to do their duty under the Constitution. State legislators that failed, Republican state legislators that failed and did not do their job in those key six states, and Republican congressmen that did not do their job and allowed this to happen, is why we now are dealing with this level of chaos. And it's going to take a lot to turn it all around. Okay, let's get to the phones. Lots of calls coming in. Let's see. Let's go to Jane in Texas. Jane, since we're dealing with this firsthand and more so than anybody else, I'll go to you first here in Texas. Jane, thanks for calling in. What's your comment, question, or insult today?
Hey there. Hey, y'all. Yeah, I lived on the border for 12 years. Still have friends there in Del Rio. Yeah, it was getting messy when I left in 2011, and it's horrible now. I still have friends there. So I've moved a little further interior, but I think what we need to do, you know, we need to still keep those buses and planes lined up. Line them up, people coming over, shuffle them in there. Send them to these liberal states that think we should have open borders. Keep sending them. Keep sending.
Oh, yep. Jane, you're right on. You're right on. That had more impact on changing the debate and causing even the mayor of New York to say this is untenable, we can't handle this, you know, even when they only had a fraction of what we're dealing with here in Texas. It had a great impact. Thank you, Ron DeSantis, for floating that idea. Thank you, Greg Abbott, for implementing that idea and doing it. It needs to be done a lot more. You're 100% right. They need to turn around and send them to all of these blue areas. That's the people that have pushed for this policy. Those are the people that need to pay for this policy and need to have to deal with it firsthand, have to live with it, have to face this stuff head on. This is not easy, folks. This would be like you opening your home and saying, all right, our doors are unlocked. We're just going to leave our doors open for our home. Now our kids are asleep upstairs, So, you know, we hope nothing bad happens, but we're going to open our home to anyone and everyone off the street that wants to come. Doesn't matter if you're drugged out, doesn't matter if you're strung out, doesn't matter if you're mentally ill, doesn't matter if you have a disease, doesn't matter none of that matters. We're not going to check at the door. None of that. You just come on in. That's essentially what we're doing. Would you do that? Would anybody out there do that? Maybe there's some of you that are foolish enough that you would do that. Maybe you are such a poor caretaker of your children and your home that you would do that. But I sure wouldn't, and I don't think any of the listeners at AFR would do that. You got enough common sense and enough wisdom to know that is not how you help people. That ends up hurting everyone. And it also violates the principle if you don't burn down your own home to save someone else's. I'm all about helping other people, and I train people and do all of these things, but I'm not going to burn down my house to help you because then I can no longer help you. And as a nation, we violated that principle. We're burning down our own nation, supposedly to help other people, but that's not even what is actually happening here. That's the press release, you know. That's the speech on TV, but that's not what they're doing. They're not doing this to help people. This isn't about refugees. This is about changing America. This is all the way back to what Barack Obama said in 2008, transforming this nation. They want this to be a Marxist nation. And to do that, they have to change the makeup of the nation. They have to dilute the conservative Christian vote. They have to dilute the people that love America, the legal citizens that came here. Why do you think legal Hispanics hate this more than anybody else? Because they came here because they love America. They don't want America diluted. They don't want this to look like the nations that they came from. But that's what these Marxists that are in charge of the country want. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back in a moment. Phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, with you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we've been trying to hit as many headlines as possible, but I keep going off on so many tangents, I can't get to the other headlines I was going to talk about. But as we were on break, I saw this story come through. I didn't even realize this happened last night. Apparently, President Joe Biden has issued a policy now essentially saying to the Border Patrol agents to basically mass release these migrants into city streets if the NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, don't have the capacities to hold it. Well, we already know that the NGOs don't have the capacity to hold this massive influx. So they're basically saying, the administration is saying, just let them, they're going to just release them into the streets. Now they're saying safely release them, but what does that mean? What does that mean? The same thing it's meant for the last year and a half or 2 years. They're going to, you know, process them through very quickly and then just send them on their way. And nobody's going to show up for their hearing that they're supposed to have because we can't even handle the hearings. We don't have the manpower to handle the hearings themselves. I'll tell you another thing that bothers me about this whole thing. All of this chaos on Wednesday is because of the lifting of Title 42. Now, Title 42 is a public health order that Trump used to basically turn away about half the migrants. Okay, so it was a quick, easy way to say, because of the pandemic, because of COVID, we can say no to you. Well, I've said from the beginning of this Title 42 thing, that's a bunch of show. We don't need Title 42 to turn them away. We should be turning them away anyway. We should be saying, come through the front door. We want you here if you're here to work. We want you here if you're here for your family, but you gotta do it the legal way. And we will not let you break the law to come into our country. That's all you have to do. And yet they use Title 42, public health, COVID, all that. It was creative. I compliment the Trump administration for being creative enough to find a way to stem the tide. You know, their policies were actually even better. The stay in Mexico remain in Mexico policy and some of the other things they did actually worked really, really well. Actually building the border wall actually worked really, really well. But the Biden administration tried to lift Title 42 even before it declared the pandemic was over. So while they continued to tell you what to do on airplanes and everything else and me, they were going to lift it so that more migrants could come across the border and not even be tested or any of that. They could be accepted no matter what, be accepted. But that was beaten back only because of judge and because of lawsuits and all that. We kept them from being able to lift Title 42. My point is it shouldn't even take Title 42. You ought to just have a policy that protects your nation. You ought to have a policy that says we have a border because we are a nation. We have a border and we have a legal process for coming into our country, just like you have a legal process for allowing anybody into your home. But nonetheless, everybody's focused on this Title 42 that's going to be lifted on Wednesday. And the Biden administration just told Border Patrol and everybody else, just let them in. Just go ahead and release them. If the NGOs can't handle them, just let them into the population. Just literally release them onto the streets of America. I'm not going to say that's your president. That's the guy occupying the White House. That's what we're dealing with right now. Okay. Rick needs to take a breath because I'm watching my nation be invaded and I'm getting a little hot under the collar. Jerry in Mississippi, I'm going to hand it off to you, man. I'm going to take a breath while Jerry gives his comment, question, or insult. Jerry, it's all yours, man.
Hey, Rick, you may not want to take too much of a breath because I'm going to fire you up.
Great. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah. I'm in my 60s, an Air Force security police vet and an Army 82nd Airborne vet. Been around the world a couple of times. Many years ago, I served in Korea. Korea's got an excellent system of keeping people out, North Koreans anyway. They got a landmine for a wall. They got machine guns. They got concertina wire. I'm not suggesting that's what we need to have, but this is a war. We're being invaded, and our president, the way I see it, is committing treason. He is not protecting you. He's not protecting me. He's not protecting my family and my grandchildren. My point being, is there, and I got two for you. First one, is there a way for us, the citizens, to sue, to stop this?
Well, I mean, we've definitely sued as states, and, you know, certainly Texas has, and Ken Paxton's done a great job on that and trying to enforce federal law. Can citizens sue? We should be able to, you know, and maybe there are some laws that you got me there, man. I don't know if there's a citizen lawsuit on this. Citizens should be able to be involved for sure. And not only that, even this bill we're trying to get passed in Texas, I think it's HB 20, to close the border and to create a cause of action where at least as a state we can detain and not have to turn them over to the Border Patrol and the feds who are going to just release them. And not that Border Patrol wants to do that. The Border Patrol agents are heroes. Let me be very clear. They are overworked, overtaxed. They're heroes just like you are, Jerry, and trying to do for our country what you did for our country in other places. And before you ask your second question, to something that you said, and I don't know what the term means that you were the type of wire that you were talking about, but that is one thing that Greg Abbott's doing right, in that these tactical units that he's sending down there, they are installing more razor wire and creating it, making it harder to get across the border. Why we didn't do that 2 years ago is beyond me. I mean, so everything that Greg Abbott's doing now, he could have done 2 years ago. So I don't appreciate his victory lap on Fox News and everywhere else, acting like he's Mr. Tough, doing what Joe Biden should have done. He could have done this a long time ago and should have done it a long time ago. So at least he's doing it now. But we need to pass this bill in Texas, creating this border czar and all these you know, tools that the governor could do without this law being passed here in Texas anyway. And I sound frustrated because I am. I'm frustrated with the people that are supposed to be our friends, supposed to be, you know, conservative, Republican, constitutionalists that haven't done their job, and that's why we're in the mess that we're in now. Okay, Jerry, go ahead, man. What's your second comment or question?
Definitely. Concertina wire, by the way, is razor wire. It's just really sharp.
Okay.
It works.
And hey, man, by the way, thank you. My family would not be free. We could not do what we do now. Every time I go out and speak and do a Constitution class, people say, thank you for doing what you're doing. I always say, no, I couldn't do this if it wasn't for guys like you, Jerry, that stood in the gap, put your life on the line. And so God bless you, man. Love you and appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. It was an honor and a privilege to have served. My last point, looking as an American citizen and a former Texan, Roseburg, Richmond, Seguin, New Brunswick, that's my area. Ranchers, you know, they got a right to protect their property. And we need to back off arresting ranchers for protecting their property when they're being invaded. You know, there was a time in Texas history where we had a place called Alamo. And I got family that's still in Texas. And they won't call 911. They have a backhoe.
Man, I'm telling you, the ranchers have been so abused in this process, and the fact that their constitutional rights would be removed from them as well, to not be able to protect their property, protect their families. I've worked with ranchers like Dr. Mike Vickers, who spoke at the rally last weekend since I was a legislator, man. I used to bring him up to the Capitol and have him testify the stuff that he's seen, the bodies that he's had to bury of people that have died on his ranch as they come across. It's horrific what's happened out there, and it's shameful what we've done to these citizens of America in Texas, and not just Texas, but Arizona, New Mexico as well, and California. They've been abandoned by their own government and now prosecuted by their own government for invoking their rights to defend their property and defend their families. It's just like what's happening in these blue cities where this two-tier justice system where these DAs go after the good guys instead of the bad guys. But it's biblical. It's these people that call good evil an evil good, and we're watching it happen right before our eyes. And Jerry, I'll say before I let you go, man, you were Seguin right by my hotel there in Gonzales, and New Braunfels right not too far from our new Patriot Academy campus in Fredericksburg. I don't know what horrible thing you did to be punished to have to leave Texas and move to Mississippi. I'm sorry for you, but no, I'm kidding, brother. You're still a great American in a great state, and I appreciate you calling in, man. And you're exactly right. Landowners should absolutely be allowed to defend their property, and it's one of the things that does get me, as you said when you first called in, get me going for sure. Okay, let's head over to Barbara. She's in Texas, Houston, Texas. Hey, Barbara, thanks for calling in. What's your comment or question today?
Yes, since we're discussing immigration, my pastor used to tell us that any problem that we have, we can find in the Bible.
Amen.
And I looked up immigration, and since this is a country that's based on Judeo-Christian principles, what the Bible, what the Old Testament says about immigration is that you should be compassionate towards immigrants, but never, ever, ever worship their gods. That translates to me that if you come here illegally, you should never be able to vote and change our republic, which is exactly what this administration is doing. They're inviting the world, knowing that they will be so grateful to them that they will always have their vote, thus turning this republic into a socialist, communist country.
Yeah. Barbara, you're... I was going to say you're 100% right for in everything you said, and especially the first part, which is that every problem we have, the Bible addresses it and has good answers for us. That's what it means to be a biblical citizen, and your interpretation, I think, is exactly right on that verse. And I would add to it the verse about treating a sojourner the same as you do your other citizens, and that means you make them follow the law, and if they don't follow the law, they don't get the benefits of this country. That's the way we treat the people in this country, or at least we're supposed to, and that's the way we should treat people coming in. And it also, in the biblical fashion here, is that when the sojourner comes in, the sojourner follows the laws. The sojourner acts the same as the other folks in your clan or your family, or in this case, your country. And that is not what is happening here. And so I'm all for inviting the sojourner in and inviting them to follow the law and inviting them to assimilate, which is what the we're supposed to do in a country like this. Out of many one, e pluribus unum, not out of one many. We don't divide up and become, you know, people don't come here and then bring their country with them and try to turn our country into their country. They come here because of what our country offers. And so, Barbara, I think your comment is spot on. Really, really good application there. And you know, if more of our legislators and leaders, and thank you for your call, Barbara, and if more of our legislators and our leaders would take that approach of actually saying, instead of taking a verse in the Bible out of context to try to justify some left-wing policy that's absolutely anti-biblical and against the spirit of the law and the Constitution and the Bible and all of those things, we should study these things and say, how did this actually work in the Old Testament? How did this actually work in history? How did this actually work in early days in our country? And when we do that, we find that the reason the founding fathers gave immigration to the federal government as an issue instead of leaving it to individual states was they said if we left it to individual states, then a particular state might have a policy that would allow what they called, and this is a quote, obnoxious aliens, meaning someone that's going to come in and be harmful to the country instead of good for the country, and that if that one state allowed for that, then those obnoxious aliens would be able to come into their state and then move freely into the rest of the country and become a burden on the rest of the country. They never dreamed the federal government would do that. they thought the federal government would protect the whole, that it would have an even more stringent immigration policy than what an individual state would ever have. But the opposite has ultimately happened. And that's why they left in Article 1, Section 10, the ability for states to repel an invasion and for states to deal with a situation like this whenever the federal government is failing under Article 4, Section 4. It's their job. The guarantee clause in Article 4, Section 4, it's supposed to be the feds that would guarantee a republic, that would repel an invasion, that would prevent this kind of thing from happening. And since they're not doing that, Article 1, Section 10 kicks in, and it is certainly the job of the states to solve this problem. Okay, let's, wow, we're going to go all the way to California. Jim in California. Let's see, what does it say? Citrus Heights, outside of Sacramento. Citrus Heights. Which side of Sacramento is Citrus Heights on?
Hey, I'm actually now in Texas. I was in Citrus Heights.
Oh, okay, and it's Jill. I'm sorry.
So I'm in Texas.
Oh, it's Jen. It's Jen. Yeah, I don't have my glasses on. I should have had my glasses on. I could have read that not being Jill. I was just curious because I used to go to Yuba, or I still go to Yuba City every year for July 4th. I fly into Sacramento and drive up to Yuba City and speak at a wonderful church there. Calvary has a great set of folks and pastors, C.O. Ciola and his son Michael, just a great team. Anyway, all of that to say, I was wondering if I drove through Citrus Heights.
Yeah, you probably did. It's not far from Sacramento.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead. I took too much of our time there. Your comment or question?
So I agree with the last two callers, but I don't want to sound like the freaky caller. But when will we stop talking about all the problems and actually do something about it? We are being invaded. We see it here. I don't know if anybody knew what happened in Sri Lanka in August of last year, where they overthrew the government, super peaceful, 8 days, got rid of the bad and brought in new. I just don't understand how all of us can see all the damage that's happening. It's insanity. And we're talking about insanity today, yesterday, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow. But nobody's coming up with common sense solutions to end this. This is insane here in Texas, if you saw what was happening.
Yeah, Jen, I grieve with you. I'm frustrated with you. I get so sick of all the talk without action. It's all, I've said of Greg Abbott for years, he's all hat, no cattle. He's starting to get a little bit of cattle, and he's starting to do some things. But the heavy lifting, the hard work, doing the big things that are going to cause opposition, they're going to cause people to call you every name in the book, going to cause, the federal government possibly to say no and try to stop it. That's the big stuff that has to be done. You're spot on. And frankly, I think the American people are reaching a point where they're saying no more. And now the good news is, in our declaration, it says when your government becomes tyrannical, you can alter or abolish it. I don't think we have to abolish it in this case, but we have to alter it. We have to do our job under the Constitution. And that includes amending the Constitution to take this power back from the feds that they have stolen from the states and the American people, and put the feds back in its box and require it to do only the 17 things the Constitution allows for. That's why conventionofstates.com is so important. Oh, I wish we weren't out of time, folks. It's been fun today. I hope. I hope you've learned some things. I hope you're motivated to take action and be a good biblical citizen. Thanks so much for listening. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.